When you think about all of the years that we've been using paperless hymnal and PowerPoint, you would think that by now someone who puts these things together would be perfect and never make a mistake, but the fact that I keep messing up so regularly, well, I'm not really anxious to contemplate what that really might be meaning. My apologies to Banks for the surprise, and to you for the delay and the change-up. But we're so thankful to be able to be together today, and we're especially thankful that we have the capacity with all of this electronic and technology and so forth that some of our folks who are not able to be with us this morning are with us on the live stream, and have already heard from some this morning, and they are participating with us from home in that regard, and we're so very thankful that we have that capacity and the ability to make that possible. I remember what Jesus said that the master said to the two-talent man and the five-talent man. He told them both the same thing. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You know, Steve read that list to us a few minutes ago that is contained there in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The title of our study this morning is simply Faithful. Faithful. I believe you would have to agree with me that faithfulness needs to be a very prominent part of every single Christian's daily life. And so I'd like to begin with a question or two. First of all, are you faithful as a Christian? Now, there may be some who think immediately, well, you know, that's invasive of you to ask me that question. That's something that I deal with on a personal level. And that's true. We do deal with our own faithfulness on a personal level, but our faithfulness is something, when you consider everything about the child of God, faithfulness is exhibited externally in many, many ways. I'm not trying to be invasive. You know, I hear that question quite a bit. Does so-and-so attend worship there at Redland Road? Yes, they do. How faithful are they? It's often an unfair question. It's usually a difficult question to answer. And 10 people who ask that question might mean 10 different things. I say all of that just simply to remind all of us that it is something that people see and draw conclusions about. Are you faithful to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ? Our faithfulness to God, again, is a very personal thing. It's not something that we can, that everybody can have instilled in them as a group effort. It's not something that's legislated so that everybody who comes in those doors there is considered to be faithful to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that we each determine for ourselves. Are you faithful to the Lord's church? And really, is there a difference? Can you be faithful to God without being faithful to the Lord's church? Can you be faithful as a Christian and not be faithful to the church, which is the Lord's body? Can you be faithful to Jesus without being faithful to the church that he purchased with his own blood? I recall Brother Neil Pollard talking about a young man he had met while he was traveling abroad on a mission trip to Cambodia. He struck up a conversation with this young American man, and the young fellow had grown up in the church. He had attended a Christian high school and even graduated from one of our brotherhood universities. The young man admitted that once he had graduated college and left his home state, he ceased association with the church. And Neil said he told him this: "I don't consider myself unfaithful, but I'm not attending church right now. I guess you could say I'm taking a break." I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of a difficulty with that concept. I'm taking a break. Because you see, I know that won't work in most any earthly obligation that we may take on. I know it won't work at work. At least where I work, it wouldn't work. And I suppose that where you work, it would be the same. It just wouldn't work. If you suddenly said, "I'm going to take a break," usually the question would come up, well, who's going to do your work while you're taking a break? Who's going to help carry this effort along? Who's going to make sure that the business which sees to your paycheck is going to keep going in the things that you've been responsible for doing? It's easy to understand why that philosophy just really wouldn't be a good one at the workplace. I don't suppose it would work at school either. I know things are probably not the same at school as they were when I was in school, and that was granted a long time ago, but I know things have changed somewhat, but I believe that if you suddenly, without any kind of advance warning, just said, "I'm going to take a break for a while, I'll be seeing you later," the question would immediately come up, you know, how are you going to keep your grades up? How are you going to keep your studies up? How are you going to stay on schedule with the rest of the class? How are you going to be able to not pull everything else down if everybody and everything else goes forward and you're taking a break? It's kind of easy to understand how that's how that would work. Gentlemen, suppose you walked into the house tomorrow night after work and told your wife, "I'm going to take a break from this marriage. I'm just decided I'll just going to take a break for a while." Yeah, there might be some breaks. They might not be comfortable, but I assure you, if you don't already know, that if you told your wife you were going to take a break from the marriage, it would not go well. And we can understand that. And yet at the same time, it seems that so many people who claim to be God's people apparently don't see the church as something significant enough that they could just take a break from it for a while. It's like it's some kind of drudgery to some folks. "I got to get away from here for a while. This is getting to me." We hear those things about some things, but I'm pretty sure that that's not a wholesome philosophy toward the Lord's church. So this morning, I want us to consider the term faithful. And let's begin by trying to nail down the meaning of the term. What does it mean to be faithful? What is the meaning of faithfulness? The word faithful describes the quality of being unfailingly reliable, trustworthy above all. Now, that'd be a good broad definition across all of the spectrums, whether you're talking about being faithful at work as a worker, or whether you're being faithful in school as a student, or even a teacher, or as a husband. To be unfailingly reliable, trustworthy above all. In fact, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, Jesus referred to faithfulness as one of the weightier provisions of the law. As he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and the subject under discussion was their hypocrisy, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." He says, "But these you should have done without neglecting the others." It's no wonder that, as we read at the very beginning, the Lord in that parable proclaimed to both the 5-talent and the 2-talent man, "Good and faithful servant." The dictionary describes or defines faithfulness as to follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. The biblical concept of faithfulness could be stated, I believe, as following through no matter what. Following through no matter the physical inconvenience, no matter the physical hardship, no matter the interfering intrusions. Following through no matter what. You know, there are some really important realms in which faithfulness plays a really great part. So maybe we should look at a few of those realms. What is the realm of faithfulness? Well, first of all, I think it would be a given to most of us that faithfulness is very important in marriage. In fact, faithfulness is a fundamental issue. In marriage, God refers to marriage as a covenant. And those who do not keep a covenant are referred to as breaking the covenant. And one who is not faithful in a marriage has broken the marriage covenant. A covenant is a binding agreement which has obligations for the parties that enter into it. And you and I know that the world today treats marriage very lightly. But God sees marriage as a covenant of faithfulness. We might not talk about it as much as we ought to, but faithfulness is also a very important part of evangelism. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, "The things that you have seen and heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Were it not for the faithfulness of those who should be going forth to teach, the word would not be spread. Stewardship is another area where faithfulness is stated by the New Testament as being a very important thing. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Some translations say trustworthy. A steward in the immediate sense in the New Testament times was a servant who was in charge of the house, especially regarding the buying and the purchasing of supplies and the needed things for the function of the household. He was entrusted with money that was to be used in the best interest of the house. And Paul says it's a given. It's something that everybody knows, that a steward has to be faithful. We're stewards of our jobs, of our money, of our children, of our physical blessings. For all those things are God's things, and we've been given those things and given the responsibility of using them. But of primary concern to us here this morning is the fact that serving God in every aspect demands that one be faithful. Meeting steadfastly with the Lord in prayer is an issue of faithfulness. Meeting regularly with fellow Christians to worship is an issue of faithfulness. It's not the only issue, and faithful attendance to worship services is not all that faithfulness is about. But it certainly is one of the more outward, visible aspects. Regular and consistent participation in the Lord's Supper is an issue of faithfulness. Conscientious obedience to the principles of the law of Christ is an issue of faithfulness. I made reference earlier to the fact that a lot of times people will point at someone and they'll say, is he faithful or is she faithful? Sometimes we act like we don't really know what that means. I think deep down inside we all know whether or not we are faithful to the Lord. But obviously there are members of the Lord's body who can be trusted to do their very best when it comes to the things of God. And then there are those who are seldom dependable in anything that has to do with the Lord. And somewhere in the middle is where I'm afraid most of us reside. If we're not among those who are considered faithful in our relationship to God, then we need to get there. How would we do that? Let's think for just a few minutes here at the end about developing greater faithfulness. Three or four suggestions, I think, come to us, maybe not directly from the Word of God, but certainly based on the principles that are taught in the New Testament. Number one, most of us will only do well if we'll start with the small things. We don't need to start out with the big, huge things at first. Now, that's not to say that by virtue of the fact that we may be new to this, we say, okay, now the rules are different for me. It's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm talking about. But in any endeavor, we usually see small things that we need to get nailed down first, and then the bigger things will always come easier. A lot of times we want to kill the giant first, though. Even before we learn how to use the slingshot. Jesus said to the good and faithful servant in the parable, "You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Little things, like being present for Sunday school class. I'm not sure what people think goes on in Sunday school class that has led them to the conclusion that it's something they need to stay away from. If you've got some ideas about that, maybe you could share those with me after services are concluded today. But there are some folks who seem to believe that Sunday school class is just not where they need to be. I believe attendance in Sunday school classes is a very wholesome opportunity for growth. It won't take care of all of the study and biblical discussion that we need to be engaged in, but it'll certainly fill a very important role. Little things like being on time when we come to worship services. I say that very carefully because I know that in any number of people, such as the group represented here, there are always going to be those who struggle with being on time for most anything, and I understand that. I'm wondering how it looks to the Lord if we never seem to make it to his assembly on time. Being ready for it when we get here is also important, I think. We've all seen the folks who looked like someone grabbed them by the scruff of the neck and drug them straight from the bed where they slept Saturday night in their church clothes and pulled them through the door of the auditorium in time for Sunday school. Not too sure we've got anybody like that here, but it's good to be here on time, and it's good to be ready when we're here. The little things add up, and the little things say a great deal about us. Let me suggest also that we need to be meticulous in our dealings. There is something to be said about the reduced heart rate and the lower stress level of being able to go through life in a lackadaisical, half-hearted way, but I'm pretty sure that it doesn't pay off at the end with the results. And there's hardly a one of us who couldn't stand to improve our focus a little bit on the things that are really important in our lives. This could be illustrated in a lot of different ways and a lot of things that come straight out of everyday life, like maybe when the store clerk gives you back too much change, it probably wouldn't break the store for you just to keep it. But it certainly breaks up your faithfulness. When we make our decisions and go about the things that we do with the idea that we want to be above reproach. I didn't say we want to be perfect, because there is no perfection. But we should strive to be above reproach. We should strive to never give the adversary reason or right to condemn or criticize us, especially in our spiritual matters. Perhaps we should concentrate more on being faithful when we know that no one is looking. There's a measure of real character. What we would do if we knew that no one would ever find out. Number three, in difficult situations, always be safe by having already decided to be faithful ahead of time. That's good advice for young folks, for middle-aged folks, and for old people too. Daniel is our example in that matter. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice of food or with the wine which he drank. In the difficult areas that call for faithfulness, if we wait until the last moment to decide what to do, we'll stand a much greater chance of making the wrong decision. Decide ahead of time in matters of faithfulness. And then number four, promise carefully and keep those commitments. For those of us who tend to be really busy, there is always the great danger of over-promising. And that hurts on the backside, as we say, on the far side, when we haven't been able to keep those promises or those commitments. Consider very carefully what we commit ourselves to. And if our decision is correct in what to commit to, the end result, no matter what it takes to get there, will always be the right result. I suppose we could say that in view of what we've talked about this morning, above everything else, always remember God is faithful. God is faithful when we're not. God is faithful even if we fail Him. He's faithful if we fail one another. God is faithful even if we don't care. God is faithful to His word, to His promises, to His will, to us in every way. He is unchanging and ultimately dependable. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, God said, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I think it would be safe to say that our lives are filled with change. A lot of it is incremental, and for that we're thankful usually. Gradual, but definite. Some things change because they're supposed to. And then some things never change, and God, of course, is in that category. Truth is constant. God's desire for all men is consistent. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then there are some things that must change. If you're outside of Christ this moment, that must change. You must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ if your desire is to spend eternity in heaven. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. Perhaps you are one who has done those things, but your faithfulness to the Lord has fallen by the wayside. You need to change. You need to come back. There'll never be a better time to do it than this morning. So, let me ask you, if your car started 6 or 7 times out of 10 tries, would you consider it to be trustworthy? If the mailman skipped your mailbox at least a couple of times every week, would you consider him to be reliable? if your refrigerator stopped working for a day or two every month, would you call it dependable? Or maybe if you skipped a couple of house payments a year, would the mortgage company say, oh, well, 10 out of 12 is not bad? I doubt they'd say that. If you fail to assemble for worship 3 or 4 services a month, would you expect someone to talk about how faithful you are to the church? You're subject to our Lord's invitation. In any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.